Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. On yesterday's broadcast, we started looking at some passages in the Old Testament from 1 Chronicles, and now we're in 1 Samuel. All the mighty men, that's what I'm entitling this message, in reference to all those individuals who are named specifically. We don't know anything really much about some of them, not many details are given, but the Holy Spirit's very precise. He lists them all by name because they were instrumental in bringing success to David's reign. They established him as king. They slew the enemies of Israel, the Philistines, and they were used as vessels to save Israel. So they were very important in God's scheme of things. And the reason I feel to share this is that sometimes we can feel very small and very insignificant, that what we do doesn't matter very much. But beloved, each one of us are members in particular of Christ's body. And just as there's every single member of your body is important, you wouldn't be very happy if you lost a finger or a foot or a hand or an eye. All of us work together to bring into completion the body of Christ. And so I believe the Holy Spirit was demonstrating in these Old Testament examples the importance of what Colossians is talking about, that we should be knit together in love, that we are lively stones of that tabernacle, not made with hands. And I'd like to go back to sharing the text in 1 Samuel, the 14th chapter. And up to this point, Jonathan had spoken to his armor bearer, and of course, Saul, his father, didn't know anything about it. And he had a daring plan. He said, "The Lord is able to save by many or by few." And he said, "Let's go up to the Philistines, and if they say come up, well, we'll go up, for the Lord's delivered them into our hands, and that'll be a sign to us. But if they say, tarry until we come to you," in other words, we'll come down to you, "then we'll stand still in our place and we won't go up." So they put this sort of as a sign before the Lord. And in verse 11, I'll continue reading, "And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they have hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us and we will show you a thing or two." That's basically show you a thing. "And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within, as it were, an half acre of land which a yoke of oxen might plow. And there was trembling in the host in the field and among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled, and the earth quaked, so it was a very great trembling. And the watchmen of Saul in Gibeah of Benjamin looked," that's where Saul and the troops were, it's about 600 men, "they looked, and behold, the multitude melted away, and they went on beating down one another. Then said Saul unto the people that were with him, number now, and see who is gone from us. And when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said unto Ahiah, bring hither the ark of God, for the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass, while Saul talked unto the priest, that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thine hand. And Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves, and they came to the battle. And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow. And there was a very great discomfiture." So God wrought an amazing victory because of the courage and the daring of these two men, Jonathan and his armor bearer. The Philistines had a vast army of valiant men in the field, and Saul was actually, he was hiding with his 600 men in an obscure part of Gibeah. He had pitched his tent under a pomegranate tree. The scriptures say. So Jonathan goes incognito, unknown to anyone, and he finds the way to the enemy garrison, and it's described as especially difficult because there's a natural entrenchment that would be basically impregnable, but he's not discouraged. And beloved, that's an example to us that great and generous souls are inspired by opposition, and they take pleasure in breaking through it. Beloved, we need to come into a place that we know that Jesus has secured the victory for us, and that we have truly been given power over all the power of the enemy. That because Jesus has given us keys to the kingdom, because he has given us delegated authority in his name, we have dominion over serpents and scorpions and basically demonic spirits here on this earth. So what does Jonathan do? He says they are uncircumcised. And so he's encouraging his armor bearer to be brave because the Philistines are not under the protection of God's covenant. The Lord is able to save by many or by few. God is able to make us two victorious over their innumerable regiments. And that's exactly what happened. God can not only save, but save through their efforts. And they were actually taking the offensive. He goes on to say, perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. And that's exactly what happened. And beloved, what does the word say? Faith without works is dead. Sometimes it takes us stepping out. It might seem like the odds are impossible. And yet, if that's something we feel God is telling us to do, then if we will respond in obedience as Jonathan, take that bold, daring, and courageous step, God will back up that kind of faith. And his armor bearer, of course, gave courage to Jonathan by his unity and support. We see in verse 10 that he was asking God for direction. He wasn't presumptuous. He knew that God could give direction by the mouth of a Philistine as by the mouth of a priest. God will direct in some way or another the steps of those who will acknowledge the Lord in all of their ways. Isn't that what Proverbs said? Lean not to thine own understanding. Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. He will direct your paths. And so the amazing thing about this, that it wasn't a sneak attack in the dark of night, but it was a bold confrontation in broad daylight. And in verse 12, when they respond, they said, come on up and we'll show you a thing. What we see here is Jonathan now speaks with assurance. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel. He climbs up the rock on all fours with nothing to cover him, only a servant behind him. And many were killed personally by them. God's right hand and arm secured the victory. The rest were put to flight and they fell into a panic and turned on one another. To complete the confusion, there was even an earthquake that God sent, causing them to fear. So the Lord rescued Israel that day, and he did it through them, for without him they could do nothing. Isn't that true? That's true for us. And beloved, how can we apply it to our lives? Well, as Christians, we need to be known as people of persistence and endurance. Jonathan could have allowed the difficulty of the impasse to change his mind. One person with commitment, persistence, and endurance will accomplish more than 1,000 people with interest alone. Think about that. Hebrews 12:1, the NIV says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Beloved brother and sister, God has your race marked out for you. You know, it's not money, it's not ability, It's not natural resources, but beloved, it's determination. Some of you are involved in something right now and you are sorely tempted just to throw in the towel, to give up. But the Lord, through this broadcast, He's prompting you to just hang in there and see what God will do. It's not what you have, but it's what you do with what you have that makes all the differences. Many people eagerly begin the good fight of faith, but when opposition arises, they forget to add patience. They forget to add persistence and endurance to their enthusiasm. And beloved, it's easy to start out, you know, all excited and on fire for God, and then when a little hindrance comes, an opposition, and in some cases it's not so minor, but it's easy to throw in the towel. It's easy to give up. But Paul, all the heroes of the Bible, they did not faint. They continued on. They held on to God. Let's see what some of the New Testament scriptures say in, for example, 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 58. And this is speaking to us. Therefore, and take this as a word for you today. This is the Lord speaking to your heart. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And then another New Testament scripture found in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 14. Peter tells us, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Praise God. In the Far East, there's a tree called the Chinese bamboo. During the first 4 years, that tree is watered and fertilized with seemingly no results. And then in the fifth year, they again water and fertilize the tree. And listen to this, in 5 weeks' time, the tree grows 90 feet in height. The obvious question is, did the Chinese bamboo grow 90 feet in 5 weeks or in 5 years? Well, the answer is 90 feet in 5 years. If at any time the water fertilizing had stopped, the plants would have died. And beloved, many times our dreams, our plans appear not to be succeeding. We're tempted to give up and quit trying. Instead, we need to take an example from that Chinese bamboo. We need to continue to water and to fertilize those dreams and plans and nurture those seeds of vision that God has placed within us. And if we do that, we will reap the harvest. Well, my time is gone, and I just want to close with this quote from Brother Spurgeon. He said, by perseverance, the snail reached the ark. Praise God. Well, it's been a blessing to share the word of the Lord with you today, and I invite you to tune in tomorrow as we see what God has for us. The announcer will give you our contact information. Please write. I'd love to hear from you. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.